You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Care and support workers are currently in the midst of a pay equity agreement, with all three major unions undertaking work to make sure workers are paid equitably. The workers, predominantly women, last received a pay rise in 2017, and their wages have simply not matched the cost of living. In some cases, workers, who often use their own cars to drive to clients, have to stay beyond their paid hours just to make sure the people they are caring for receive the appropriate care. Te Whatu Ora has delayed the pay equity settlement despite not being directly involved in the relationship between employees and employers. This has got some union members and representatives riled up. Following International Care and Support Day, I spoke to the Public Service Association Assistant Secretary, Melissa Woolley. I started our interview by asking what the PSA is and what it does.
Public Service Association is a union for community and public service workers across Aotearoa. We've got 90,000 members, and we represent workers all across, from community organisations, to Whatu Ora employed staff, public servants who are directly employed across the public service and local government organisations.
What is the International Day for Care and Support about?
Yeah, so unions celebrated on the 29th of October the first ever International Day for Care and Support Workers. And we're really proud to have the care and support worker profession being acknowledged as a bit of a profession by its first International Day. The day is about valuing and recognising people who deliver essential healthcare services across our communities to our elderly, our injured, our disabled, who live at home or live in residential facilities across our mutu. I also think that care workers across the world on this day were calling on their various governments to improve the working conditions for care and support workers across the world, as care and support work is predominantly delivered by women. And because it's predominantly provided by women, it continues to be undervalued and underpaid.
Can you give a brief history on the pay equity claim that was filed last year?
Yeah, so in July last year, PSA, E2 and NZNO raised a pay equity claim across 15 employers across the care and support sector, which is roughly about a third of the care and support workforce, which is 65,000 care and support workers. And we did that because that was the first possible day we could do so, because there was previous legislation that enacted a step towards pay equity in 2017. So we raised that claim and have been working at pace with the employers to go through the pay equity process by doing interviews with care and support workers across the country to talk about the skills, the degree of effort and knowledge that care and support workers hold by being a care and support worker. We've gone through that process and we're at the final stages of being able to enter into formal negotiations with the employers to reach a pay equity settlement. Unfortunately, that was halted because Te Whatu Ora, who is the key funder of care and support services across Aotearoa, decided it wanted to do a review of the process and the work that the unions and the employers have done to date for care and support workers. We absolutely think that this is outrageous. It is outrageous that Te Whatu Ora, as a funder, are interfering in the pay equity process. Care and support workers could be having a pay equity settlement by now had Te Whatu Ora not interfered in this process. The unions will not participate in the review. We have no interest in the review, and we stand by the work that we have done throughout the process, in a vigorous process, to highlight the undervaluation of the work that care and support workers do. So we're calling on the government, the incoming government, to prioritise pay equity and prioritise pay equity for this group of workers, to stop Te Whatu Ora interfering in the process. Let us get on and get into bargaining and get a deal for care and support workers. They are the lowest paid group of health workers across our country, largely on the minimum wage, largely women. Often people were driving their cars in between clients and getting a small subsidy from the government to use their own cars to travel, and are paid the minimum wage. And it's time that care and support workers were valued and paid what they are owed.
Now, on that note, with the new government coming into power, how likely does it seem that the pay equity claim will be approved?
We're giving it our best shot. We're expecting this government to deliver on pay equity and pay equity for the lowest paid group of workers. The original 2017 settlement was delivered under a national government, and we're hoping and expecting that they will continue in the same vein that they did in 2017, which is a step towards pay equity for the care and support workforce. We're also wanting that to be done through legislation and deliver the pay equity settlement through legislation, and we're expecting this government to prioritise this group of workers, low-paid workers, as one of the first things that they do coming into power.
Early in October, an open letter was launched urging healthcare funders to stop unjust delays for pay equity. Can you tell us a bit more about this letter?
Yeah, so we did launch an open letter, PSA, MZNO and Air2, around the interference that Te Whatu'ora are doing around the review process. Te Whatu'ora are going ahead with this review despite strong opposition from the three unions. We are still calling on people to sign this open letter. We are wanting to present that to the chief executives of the four key funding agencies who we believe are interfering in the pay equity process, and we're wanting to do that relatively soon. We've only got 6,000 signatures at the moment, so we're encouraging everyone to sign this open letter and support care and support workers for their aim of getting pay equity and getting pay equity soon. They need it now. This is urgent. Care and support workers are really struggling with the increased cost of living and the increased petrol prices that they're facing. So this is urgent.
What rationale are healthcare agencies using to delay the pay equity settlement?
They're wanting to look at a couple of factors of the pay equity process. So they are wanting to explore the fact that we have come up with one care and support worker role for the 17,500 workers, and hopefully extended out to the whole 65,000. So they're concerned that there's one care and support worker role, but we know with other roles that such as nurses and such as teachers, a teacher is a teacher, a nurse is a nurse, and why should care and support workers see multiple roles? I think also the evidence has provided us that there is one care and support worker role as well, and they don't agree with that. The second is they've got some concerns about the comparators that we have used throughout the process, and requested that we added additional comparators. We did add additional comparators. It didn't change the outcome, and now they're wanting to independently review the choice that the unions and employers made about the comparators that we used. It's completely inappropriate. The parties to the claim are the unions and the employers. It is not the funder's role to interfere in the work, the pay equity work, that the unions and employers have done.
Next, I spoke to a care and support worker named Monique Behan-Kitto. They have unique insight into the struggles faced by workers and the struggle for pay equity. I started our interview by asking about Monique's role as a care and support worker.
I'm a home and community support worker, so I go into people's homes and support them, and I've been doing it for roughly 15 years.
What does an average day in your role look like?
It can be anything from getting people out of bed, showering them, helping with medications, doing housework, taking people shopping, or we go into the higher needs stuff where it's hospital, nearly hospital level care with dementia and stroke rehab, and yeah, no 2 days are the same, and our role is very varied.
Now, you mentioned you'd been working in the sector for 15 years. Have you noticed any changes in working conditions and workload while working as a healthcare worker?
Yes. Big time. I first started under a non-profit organisation, a local iwi organisation. We were given whatever time we needed. If we needed an increase in time because we saw someone was deteriorating, we just rang the office and says, look, we need an increase because of these things. They would then get a hold of the funders and have that put in place. We're now on the third company. It's a for-profit company, and our role has increased, yet our times continually get decreased. It's kind of hard to explain that the funding pressures that are on the sector as it is, from the person that we support point of view, and then it impacts on us and our guaranteed hours. And we do a lot of our work for free in the end because we run over time, but we can't leave someone in the middle of, say, a shower because we've run out of time. We will continue on and finish that work and end up doing the voluntary work that we end up have been doing for many years.
Now, do you know how the organisation that you belong to is funded?
Yes, multiple contracts. I usually follow the DHB 065 contract, but then we also have ACC and mixed funding contracts as well.
How have you been coping with the increased cost of living? Has your pay been raised to match?
So in 2017, we were given the care and support settlement. We were given an increase of 49% on our wages, and it was amazing. Over the last 5 years that has played out, our cost of living has increased so exponentially that we are now just sitting above minimum wage yet again, and I run my car at a loss every fortnight. I do not get paid the correct amount to run my car. I get enough for gas, but not the insurances, the warrants, the rego, the wear and tear. Yeah, because we're constantly travelling. I do roughly 450 kilometres a week in my car.
How have your colleagues been faring with the increased cost of living?
The same. We have lost a lot of workers to go back into residential care or working in rest homes just because the cost of petrol itself is too expensive to continue doing our job, which is very, very sad because we love our work in the community.
Now, are you a member of a union, and do you support the pay equity claim that was filed last year?
Yes, I am a member of E2. I'm a union delegate, and I also sit on the Community Support Services Industry Council. And yes, I do fully support the pay equity process. It's just frustrating when things are held up.
That was Melissa Woolley, Assistant National Secretary of the Public Service Association Union, speaking about the struggles experienced while trying to obtain pay equity for care and support workers, as well as Monique Behen-Kitto, a worker who has been struggling in their role.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.